Hey everybody, this is Jen from Java Engine Reflections. I am excited to get started on a series about gardening. I love gardening. I garden with my granddaughter. I have been gardening since I was five. I mean, maybe younger. I used to garden with my grandparents, occasionally with my mom. Most recently was on the gardening planning committee for Temple Israel for their pantry garden. I helped design and tend to that. I designed a community garden for a church that actually won a couple awards. So yeah, I'm a gardener. And because I'm a gardener, I love it when other people garden as well. Plus, I think it's just, you know, it's just such a good everything. I love it. My gardening Instagram is bubbies_victory_gardens. BUBBES_VICTORY_gardens, plural. So I share all things gardening over there, and I really want to get started by saying that as I share my garden on Instagram, I love sharing it on Instagram, share it on Facebook as well, but I do not have the typical picture perfect Pinterest board, you know, garden. My garden is, you know, it's more for, so I have done gardens that were, had very large budgets and grants and those kinds of things. So I know how to garden on that scale. I know how to design on that scale. I'm saying too much. Anyway, I know how to garden on that scale. But for me personally, I do not have the same kind of budget that the other gardens, you know, the community gardens, pantry gardens. I don't have that kind of budget for my own personal garden. So I do what I like to call found object gardening. You know, I use what I have on hand. I use what I find free on Facebook. I do buy things, obviously, especially zip ties. Gotta love those. But I really try to keep the bulk of my budget going towards my soil. That's, you know, without good soil, you're not going to have a good garden. Last year, meaning the summer of 2022, I was fighting against clay soil. Our new place has garbage soil. Terrible clay. You're gonna have to go and look at the videos. It ended up being a successful garden. I got, you know, really decent yields out of it, and I think it ended up looking good, but it was an uphill slog all the way. It is interesting because comparing the two gardens side by side, I think the 2022 garden was more successful than my 2023 garden in some ways. I don't actually weigh my produce, so it's hard to say. But, you know, thinking back on it, I'm like, honestly, it was kind of a split. Some things did better, some things did worse. So I want to start off talking about my failures from last year's garden. I think that it is, if you are a gardener, it's really helpful to keep notes throughout the year. And I will tell you that come around June or July timeframe, I'm already thinking about next year's garden and how I want to do things differently next year. It's like, you know, here it is December and my 2024 garden is on paper. I have it planned out. And speaking of having it planned out, I am going to have some free downloads that I'm going to be putting out shortly to help people get started on gardening. And then I think I'm also going to have some binders with tips and all sorts of fun and neat tools available for purchase and a little bit later on. But back to last year's, or the 2020, when I say last year's, I'm referring to the 2023 garden. So what are some of the mistakes that I made? It would be a good place for everybody to kind of go back and listen to two previous gardening podcasts that I have, Bucket Gardening and Let the Garden Sleep, to kind of get an idea of, you know, my style and a little bit of background information. And I'll go over some of those tips too. But my there were more than two failures. The one that the biggest failure that comes to mind is I hate growing beans. I'm not good at growing beans. I've never had, until 2023, I'd never had a successful garden bean crop. I hated growing beans. 2022, I built a very, what I thought was beautiful, dome, basically, out of sticks and tree limbs and those kinds of things and twine, and it was going to be gorgeous with these beans and peas and flowers and everything climbing all over it. And it ended up just being ugly sticks and twine all year long. So 2023, I designed a completely new garden on the east side of my yard. Last year was the west side. 2023 was the east side. I built what I refer to as watermelon closets. And because I do vertical gardening for almost everything for numerous reasons, but we can get into that later. But I read somewhere that putting beans and watermelon in the same bed was a good idea. On paper, sure, it kind of works. In practice, it's a terrible idea. At least it was for me. Beans will always betray me. Beans will always betray me. They either will not grow or they will absolutely flourish and choke out whatever other crop is nearby to them. And that's what happened. They choked out my watermelon. Watermelon is one of my favorite things to grow. I grow it vertically. I grow several different varieties. I grow cantaloupe also vertically. That is one of my favorite things to grow. So the beans choked out my watermelon. Major fail. I will never combine those two again. I planted, 20 watermelon plants, you know, hills. I planted from seed. I did 20 watermelon hills. I had very few. I ended up having to go in, pull some of the bean plants so that these watermelon plants could grow and get some nutrients. I ended up with quite a few watermelon that were the size of a cannonball. I don't know if you're familiar with a cannonball, but a cannonball will fit in your hands cupped. Okay. It's enough watermelon for a toddler. It's not very much watermelon at all. Same with the cantaloupe. We did eat them because they were good. They did ripen. You know, there was nothing wrong with them. We're just used to having, you know, 8 to 15 pound watermelons and plenty of them. So, I mean, it was a disappointment. But on the flip side, I have a lot of frozen green beans. So that's good. I'm just going to separate them for 2024. I would say that that's my biggest takeaway. Another issue was I didn't have enough soil. I purchased 3 cubic yards of soil. My son and his friend were kind enough to haul it up the hill because my garden is at the top of a hill. Haul it up the hill, put it in the beds. I was really trying to go on the cheap, you know. But I got good soil and I just, you know, it just wasn't particularly deep. I think I ended up with, my beds are 3 feet by probably 10 feet. I have them narrow because it's easy for me to reach across them. These are my, like, I grow stack peppers, bell peppers, those kinds of things. Obviously, are not trellised. So, but I did not have enough soil for these plants to really thrive. They did incredibly well. I got a tremendous amount of produce. I just was frustrated with the amount of soil that I had. And I had a tremendous amount of weeds, even though I put down cardboard. I started the 2023 garden in February or March. It takes me a lot longer than a lot, an able-bodied person to do things. So I took little orange cones out in my yard and, mapped out what each, the size of each bed and measured it out, because 2023 was my dream garden with arches and lights. And even though there were issues with it, absolutely stunning. I treated myself to some solar powered fairy lights. Gorgeous. Love, love, love. But I didn't have enough soil. I had a tremendous issue with weeds. The cardboard down was not enough to handle it. I am not, unless absolutely necessary, I'm not going to go out there and weed. It's difficult, and I'm not going to do it. I would much prefer preventing weeds than I would to pull weeds, and I'm not going to use any chemicals. Well, obviously, I use chemicals in my garden, fertilizer and everything, but I'm not going to use a herbicide or a pesticide in my garden. So what I'm getting at is I didn't use enough straw. Normally, I would do 2 to 3 inches of straw for the length of each bed and, around each plant, and that keeps the weeds choked out. But as the season progresses, you have to replace that straw. For whatever reason, I didn't. I don't know if it was an issue of finances, which it probably was. There's just so many things that go into budgeting for a garden. And when you're already on a tight budget, I really should have prioritized more soil and straw, but I did the best I could with what I had. And 2024, I'm going to have more straw. What was another mistake? This really wasn't so much a mistake as it is a lesson learned. I planted the wrong cucumbers. Wrong is in quotes. I did not like. I normally like straight eight cucumbers, but they're not good for pickling. I think I did too many straight eights, and I did Mrs. Pickler pickling cucumbers from Gurney's, I think it was. I love Gurney seeds. Love them. The majority of my seeds come from Gurney's. And I do seed save, which I can talk about that later, but the Mrs. Picklers were fine. They were not good. Sometimes, I mean, pickling cucumbers can be good for eating, like in a salad, but for whatever reason, the cucumbers of 2023 just had a bitterness to them that I don't recall having. I don't know if it was because the soil was off. There are numerous factors that can go into what your produce take, how your produce tastes beyond the variety that you choose. And it very easily could have been a soil deficiency. I actually last year, 2023, gardened with part of a project for University of Nebraska, Lincoln Horticulture Department, testing out various different gardening methods. I do no-till gardening method and trellising, and oh gosh, they gave us some zucchinis to try out. I will try to get the name of that zucchini seed because the zucchini was pretty amazing. As far as cucumbers are concerned, I don't know what variety I'm going to go with for 2024. I did save some seeds. I did some canning in 2022. I made pickles in 2022 that were absolutely garbage because I used the wrong pickles. If you're going to make pickles, you need pickling cucumbers. You cannot pickle with anything but a pickling cucumber. It's just not yuck. Okay. Fridge pickles, you can use slicing cucumbers to make fridge pickles, and those will taste good. I did not, the other issue is that I really did not grow enough of what it was that I wanted. One of my big things is I wanted these butternut squash, again from Gurney's, they're small. There is 1 to 2 servings per butternut squash. They are small enough to trellis without having to use any sort of a sling. They are just delicious. They're amazing. And there's lots of times that I do like a Waltham squash, and it was Honey Nut, I think, was the variety that I did this last year of butternut squash. I will have to look it up and get back on that. I just wish that I had grown more of it. I dried them. Well, I didn't dry them, but, cured them so the rind is hard so that they'll last the summer. I have quite a few left on Honey Nut. It's a Honey Nut variety from Gurney's. I have quite a few butternut squash, up on the counter is going to get me, probably January, February time frame, because I do enjoy a lot of butternut squash. And I make squash soup. I just really wish I would have grown even more of the butternut squash. There was an issue with tomatoes. So I failed at labeling my tomatoes. And this is the first year that it's really bit me in the tuchus. In the past, it really hasn't mattered. Well, this year I mislabeled and I was wanting to grow tomatoes for making sauce. And I got San Marino seeds. I got Ruby Monsters. I just got, several different varieties, some paste tomatoes, but I, specifically went and I got these San Marinos, and I was so excited because of the lack of soil, because of the clay. I'm used to having tomato plants that are legitimately 8 to 10 feet tall, and trellis. That is what I'm used to. I don't know if San Marino tomato plants are just naturally smaller, but I ran into the issue of them. They were maybe 2.5 feet tall. They still gave me quite a few tomatoes, but they took a lot longer to ripen than I'm used to. We had a late frost this year, and I was out there covering these tomatoes. I did bring a lot of tomatoes in when they were green and got them to turn, which I've never managed to do before. So I was excited about that. But the tomatoes, it was just, I wanted to plant 50 tomato plants. That was my goal, because if I did 50 tomato plants, I would have enough to can without buying tomatoes, in theory. That is wrong, by the way, but that was my gardening math, okay? Well, instead of 50 slicers, canning tomatoes, paste tomatoes, I planted 25. That is 25 cherry tomato plants. 25. If you have ever planted cherry tomatoes, you know that one cherry tomato plant is more than a family of 4 can consume in a year. Excuse me, you're going to end up having some sauces, freezer, everything. So 25 cherry tomato plants was not a good. And then, obviously, it ended up working fine. I have some in the freezer. My granddaughter loves them. Most of them didn't even get in the house because she stands up there and eats them. That's perfectly fine. But the cautionary tale is I need to be more diligent about labeling my seedlings. I start almost everything in my garden from seed in my spare bedroom with a space heater, ceiling fan, a humidifier, and grow lights. It's quite the unprofessional setup, I guess you would say. I mean, it's definitely a rookie kind of looking, well, not rookie, but it's bare bones. Once again, it's, you know, this found object gardening where I'm not going to go out and buy a lot of stuff to garden because that defeats the purpose. For me, if I went out and I spent a lot of money on fancy trellises and, you know, fancy seedlings, you know, fancy plants or whatever, it sounds like fancy pants, but, you know, fancy plants, I'm not saving any money by gardening. I'm actually, you know, spending money gardening. And that's fine. If people want to do that, that's fine. But part of my reason for gardening is, like, as the name implies, Bubby's Victory Garden. I always plant a victory row to donate. And I mean, this is food. I'm saving food. So, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, especially with not labeling, it was not cool. And now I do give some plants to a friend of mine who gardens in Lincoln. But yeah, those, I mean, I'm going to be a lot more cautious about. I say this every year, but I am absolutely certain I'm going to do a better job of labeling my seeds. You know, and sometimes the way trays are set up, it's not always easy to label seeds. And I'm going to have to come up with a different system and stick to it this year because that, I mean, you know, it made gardening more frustrating because I was, you know, waiting all year for these bigger tomatoes. And they just, like I said, I'm used to having massive tomato plants and I had these itty bitty tomato plants. They definitely produced, but I wanted my tomato plants to go over this trellis and, you know, look beautiful and picture perfect. And that didn't happen. I had cucumbers that did go partway over a trellis, but nothing really. I mean, it looked nice. It still looked nice. I did grow pumpkins, and some of those grew on the ground. Some of those grew on a trellis. That's another thing that I actually wish I had planted more of, which is surprising because pumpkins often take over the yard. Last year, I just threw our pumpkins in the backyard and, you know, said, grow or don't, and they did. Had some really pretty varieties that we, you know, bought at a roadside farm stand. So this year I was at the roadside farm stand, you know, selecting squash and pumpkins, gourds, all of those things that I knew that I was going to want to plant in my garden. And I now know that I have, especially with trellising my pumpkins, I have the room to grow a lot more pumpkins than I did. And come the fall, that is really nice to be able to display your own homegrown pumpkins. I don't know. I think that that's fun anyway. I don't know if other people do. And pumpkins aren't, you know, super expensive. But when you go to get those decorative gourds or, you know, pumpkins, I end up spending, like, sometimes it's obscene, but, you know, $70. And I would much rather, you know, like this fall, I went and I bought what it was that I wanted, and hopefully they will grow, you know, from seed. And then next year I will not have to buy, I'll have to buy some because, you know, you have to go to the pumpkin patch. It's mandatory, but I won't have to buy, hopefully, fingers crossed, any to decorate. What's one of my other regrets was, the sunflowers, I mean, pollinator beds, oh gosh, the weeds really got the best of the pollinator beds. Something ate my sunflowers. I grow giant sunflowers and it's something that I'm really good at. This year, my giant sunflowers, no exaggeration, I planted 50 giant sunflower seeds, you know, for this, for the variety of giant sunflower. And I don't know, 15 skyscrapers. I planted sunflower seeds, you know, that should have resulted in, you know, in the past I've had 15-foot sunflowers. I, you know, most of my sunflower seeds did not grow. I think, you know, they were eaten by whatever creature eats them. It did probably end up having, oh gosh, I had 2 or 3 of the skyscrapers that were 10, 11 feet tall. And, you know, quite a few different ones, but I'm going to have to prepare the pollinator beds differently. I mean, right now my backyard looks very much like Sanford and Son, if you're familiar with the show. A lot of my garden looked extremely, to me, I found to be very pretty, very nice. I enjoyed sitting out there at night. I had I had lightning bugs this year. I had ladybugs this year. I also had a lot of squash bugs this year, but we won't discuss that. I feel like overall my garden was wonderful and I really did enjoy it. I just know that there are going to be changes made for next year. And the number one change is I am going to invest in more soil. I know I won't be investing in any sort of raised beds. I should have mentioned that my garden beds are undefined. I do individual beds, but rather than, you know, spending the money on wood to make raised beds, I mean, they're not really raised, but more defined garden beds. I don't do it because that's just cost prohibitive and we rent. So who knows how long we'll be here. I mean, hopefully we're here for a good long while, but those are some things that, well, they're my bucket gardening. Also, I tried something new with bucket gardening that I will not try again. I did not want to put 1 5-gallon bucket, food grade bucket from Firehouse Subs, is one full bag of soil. 3 buckets takes about like 2.5 bags of soil. With 2023, I decided to use the trick that I had seen online, which is where you fill the bucket 2/3 full with garbage. I mean, I saved like cardboard wrapping, things like that, so that it would be biodegradable, no dye, those kinds of things. It just didn't work at all. I won't do that again. If I'm going to do bucket gardening, I will do it where I buy the soil and I fill the bucket up to the top. I had a few herbs, you know, that did well, but my bucket gardening was not. I used to teach bucket gardening. This was the first year I really went off script and I just wasn't happy with it, but that's okay because a bad year of gardening is still better than pretty much anything else. I think in the next episode, I'm going to talk about how to get this garden planned. Planning and preparing for your 2024 garden, because believe it or not, it is time to start putting pen to paper and planning your garden. Thank you for listening. This is Jen, Java and Jenny Flexions. I hope that you'll turn in for the next episode and share this with your friends. Check me out on Instagram. Bicycle.